What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Force Unscripted. Today we are doing a bonus episode for our micro series episode that we did, and we have some fan questions that we're going to answer for you and discuss, and then we're going to go into some of our games that we play. So let's get started.
All right, so we got a couple of questions here. I kind of like this one. So this question is from Jason, who gives us a lot of our questions, actually. But this one is, how do characters like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda grapple with the meaning of life, especially in the face of loss and conflict? Is there an existentialist undertone in the struggle against the Sith and the search for purpose in the Star Wars universe? God, that's a deep ass question.
Yeah, that's a quite deep.
I don't think that Obi-Wan and Yoda and them grapple with the meaning of life. They kind of just accept that everyone dies. Like, life is, you just live for living's sake. I don't think they're really like grappling with like, what is life? What is my purpose? They're Jedi. Their purpose is to keep the peace, be Jedi, be tranquil, that kind of thing. Now they meditate on like, what is the Force? That's mainly what they're talking about when they're meditating and finding out the meaning of stuff. They meditate on what the Force is, what the Force wants from them, how it interconnects with everything, but not necessarily like the meaning of life. They know things die, things are born, and you just gotta move on, because that is like, that's how life is.
My personal take on this is, I agree with everything that Hunter said. I just feel like until the events of episode 3, they don't quite understand the meaning of life and the living Force as deeply as Qui-Gon did until Yoda starts communing with Qui-Gon. Because Qui-Gon's the first Jedi in, I don't know, a couple hundred to 1,000 years to actually like keep his consciousness within the Force once he passes from the living realm. And I think that that had to do with the fact that he was so in touch with the living Force, whereas a lot of Jedi in that time were more focused on the cosmic Force. And I think that it's not that they struggle to understand the meaning of life, and like especially in the face of like loss and conflict, I just think that they're so worried about the future that they stop seeing what's in front of them and what's happening. And I think that because of how profound Qui-Gon's understanding of the Living Force was and how intimately connected he was with the Living Force, that's why he was the one who found the virgins that is Anakin Skywalker. That's why he was the first Jedi in so many years to retain his consciousness once he moved, you know, to the I guess, what would be the world between worlds, where he can still come up as a Force ghost. And I think that because of him, Obi-Wan and Yoda, well, I guess Yoda, then Obi-Wan, are able to also come to that same understanding of the living Force, of the Force that is like, you know, their present and what needs to not only be in communion with, but also like, you have to have that before you can extend further into what would be the cosmic Force. I feel like the Jedi before were just, you know, focusing more on the cosmic Force as a whole and the living Force as it was coming. But Qui-Gon took it the other way around, which seems to be the more, I guess, appropriate, you know, way of going about studying the Force.
As far as existentialist undertone, I mean,
well, you gotta let Exotic give his take of the first part.
Yeah, I mean, mine's not gonna be as long winded as Nikita's, but
fuck you, man. I'm just answering a question.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a simpler answer to it. No.
Okay, go.
It's just like you can correlate it to fucking Christians. I mean,
God,
someone dies, they go somewhere that is a better place, right? And that's like, Obi-Wan went through quite a bit of loss during the Clone Wars series. And just in general, they're going to a better place, I guess you could say, is what is probably going through their heads. It's like, war is war. Someone's going to die. And even if they're close to them, if it happens to be that person, they have to move on because they're soldiers in this big-ass war, and they just have to keep fighting on for the better of the world or universe at this point.
How is that how, though? The question asks how.
That's how they just have to live with it. I mean, they can't
really... By relating it to Christianity, that's how they do it?
I'm correlating it to Christianity.
So that's how they do it. They correlate it to Christianity.
Yeah, exactly.
So Qui-Gon went to heaven because he was a good dude, but the rest of them couldn't figure out how to be good dudes, so they never got to heaven except for Obi-Wan and Yoda, because he came to them in, like...
No, it's, you know, just like
an angel and taught them. Yeah, yeah, totally.
No, definitely. Everyone, like, no, if they die, they become a part of the living Force, which you can correlate to heaven. And it's just like they become a part of everything.
So then what is the cosmic force in this grand Christianity analogy?
I got no clue on that one.
Yeah, I could tell you really thought this one out.
Obviously, the cosmic force is like the Trinity, right? Totally encompassing.
You know what?
I could
see that.
All powerful kind of deal. The living force is like where the people go, but the cosmic force is where the ultimate beings reside, kind of deal. I guess.
Actually,
I could see it.
what you're saying and what Red just said in our Twitch chat fits the cosmic force, the father,
yeah,
daughter.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
son.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
Good shit,
the
Red.
Father, daughter, son shit. And that
you're
would make Avaloth, you know, the devilish character from...
True, because the devil's a fallen angel. Avaloth is a fallen cosmic force being. It fits. Holy shit, Star Wars is just nerd Bible. We figured it out.
Exactly.
We did it, boys.
Gee, simpler answer.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That was really complex
answer.
For a simple answer.
No, it wasn't. If you're correlating
you're
something into that people talk about day to day.
You're just a shit
talker.
Nah,
Obi-Wan's
not space
what
Jesus.
Everyone knows.
Obi-Wan is
that.
A space Jesus.
Obi-Wan is like John the Baptist, okay?
Okay, I can agree
Obi-Wan
with that,
is
yeah.
John the Baptist, and Anakin is space Jesus.
Yeah, so Red says that Obi-Wan is space Jesus. Obi-Wan is more like space John the Baptist. Anakin is definitely space Jesus. No father, born anyway.
Yeah.
The chosen one, sacrificed for our sins to get rid of Sidious, the physicalization of the devil at that point.
The about right.
Physical, well, hold on, the physicalization?
Yeah.
You mean the personification?
Same shit.
No, physicalization is not a word.
Sure it is.
He just made
sure
one.
It is. Okay, Shakespeare, making words. All right, let's hit the second part of this question that Jason asked. So is there...
It is a word.
Shut up. You can't prove that in a court of law. Is physicalization really a word?
No, physicalize is a word.
Wait, hold on. Red says, Anakin is not space Jesus. Anakin is the Antichrist and the angel sent to fight all in one. The struggle, the whispers. I don't get that one.
Neither do I.
Yeah, how can Obi-Wan be space Jesus? I need the explanation for why Obi-Wan is space Jesus instead.
I feel like, and the Antichrist, like, has a physical mother and father, though.
And they come to destroy everything. Anakin didn't really come to destroy everything. He brought balance to it.
He was made eventually. To destroy everything, but he didn't come to destroy everything. I feel like if anyone's the Antichrist, it's Palpatine, because that motherfucker was born and then was like, I want to kill my dad.
See, Anakin's fall is what happens if in the like 40 days in the wilderness when the devil is trying to tempt Jesus, it's if Jesus was like, yeah, give me that bread.
Give me that bread. All right, so let's hit the second part of Jason's question. So the question is, again, is there an existentialist undertone in the struggle against the Sith and the search for purpose in the Star Wars universe?
Sure. I mean, absolutely, there's an existentialist undertone because they're all like, what is the meaning of the Force? What is this all-encompassing thing that we are like a part of and is within everything and we utilize but we don't control? Like, yeah, there's definitely an existentialist, you know, undertone there. And the Sith are just like, yo, this Force thing, that's mine. I want it. I'm gonna use it. I'm gonna use it for whatever I want to do because I'm a free man. I don't care about what y'all Jedi preaching. Look at all my hate. Look at all my anger. Look at this.
Yeah, it's like
big
George
boom,
Lucas.
Big lightning.
George Lucas said himself that the Jedi are not inherently good and the Sith are not inherently evil. It's just like there's no good or bad. It's just all just how they choose to use the Force.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Sith see the Force as like a tool. Like they use the Force to their own purposes, whereas the Jedi see themselves as like a conduit in which the Force flows through. So they are the tool. And I feel like that in itself is like the fundamental difference between the two. You can see the Force as a tool and not necessarily be evil, and you see yourself as a conduit of the Force and not necessarily be, you know, good, which is how dark Jedi and grays come about. I guess gray isn't actually like a canon thing, but I feel like that's how the two come about. Because the difference between a dark Jedi and a Sith is still that use of the Force thing.
I think grays are canon.
Oh, they are now? I know they're not
the
legends.
Inquisitor, the Grand Inquisitor.
He's a gray?
Yeah, because he became a temple guard, right? Yeah, he became a temple guard from, you know, went from evil to temple guard. I think he's the closest example of
Wait,
gray we
I thought
have
it was the other way
than,
around.
Like Ahsoka.
I thought he was a temple guard and then became an Inquisitor.
But then there was this whole deal in Rebels where he like came back as like a he had like a different outfit and everything. He wielded the double yellow, or was it double white? I forget.
It was double yellow.
He wielded the double yellow again and came back like as a balanced person kind of deal.
I honestly thought that was a vision. I didn't realize that was actually him.
It was a vision because it was whenever Kanan was meditating, and that's whenever Kanan became like an official knight, right?
So it wasn't actually the Grand Inquisitor, right?
Well, the Grand Inquisitor came to him in that vision.
Yeah, but had the Grand Inquisitor actually been changed, or was it just symbolic?
I don't have an answer for that one.
Yeah, they don't go too into detail on it and how he came back and everything like that. But I don't think it was symbolic because he was speaking from memories of the Grand Inquisitor as well that Kanan couldn't have known.
Fair.
The closest other example is Ahsoka with the white sabers.
All right, so we got another question here. This one's from Timmy, and I'm going to steal it. It's, who's the best pilot in all of Star Wars?
Wedge.
Bro, you took my answer, you fucker. I was like, there's no way he's going to pick this one. Fuck you. Yeah, Wedge Antilles.
Gotta be quick. Wedge Antilles, best pilot.
He's a Legends character, right?
He's both.
Canon, too. Wedge was at the first, like, Death Star. He's at both Death Star destructions, yeah.
Fuck, dude. Well, I can't believe you, of all the people, you picked fucking Wedge Antilles. Eat shit.
Who the fuck else am I gonna pick?
Anakin Skywalker.
Anakin? No, Wedge.
Brick3PO says Porkins for the win.
Red Leader was a good pilot, that is for sure. And he did get through the trench run and shoot the missile correctly as like guided by their systems. But I wouldn't say Red Leader's best pilot in the galaxy. It's definitely Wedge. Wedge does all the shit that Luke and Anakin can do, but no force. Without the force.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wedge's Anakin without the force on crack. He's so good.
Ooh, get shit on. Wedge was Red Leader at Endor.
True.
Actually, didn't remember that.
Pretty sure he was.
Who was Red Leader at Yavin?
The older guy. I don't remember his name. I just know his face.
Garvin didn't go through. Was Red Leader during the Battle of Yavin.
The only reason that Luke's torpedo worked is because he used the force to guide it in and not the targeting computers.
Use the force, Luke.
At least none of us said Poe. That's good.
Oh, yeah. What's your answer?
Anakin.
Anakin pre-cybernetics or post-cybernetics?
I don't think it matters.
I think it kind of does, because he's big and bulky.
Well, but, like, it doesn't have any... It doesn't... Like, the loss of one hand isn't what affects his connection to the Force. It's when he loses the other hand and both legs.
That's what I'm saying. Like, by cybernetics, I meant Vader, not first hand.
I got you.
And Vader was a dog shit... TIE Flyer.
How are you gonna get taken out by a fucking space rat named Han Solo?
Exactly.
If I didn't say Wedge, my other answer was gonna be Han. Han does some fucking crazy shit, especially like in the New Jedi Order with the Yuuzhan Vong, like, cause he comes up with that fucking move, the Solo slingshot, and everyone starts doing it.
Yeah, the thing about Han is, like, if you think about A New Hope, right, all the people on board this Death Star that aren't, you know, Imperial people, we've got Vader's daughter, Vader's son, Vader's teacher, Vader's droids, one of which that he created, and then you've got the space rat that he's never met before, who just somehow comes out of nowhere, pilots them out of there, fucking destroys or like half breaks his TIE fighter, takes away all his like his children and everything, his droids. Like Han is some fuck shit that just showed up and Vader has to deal with.
All right, I have a question. Is Han technically a groomer? Because he's like 33 and Leia's like 20. I feel like that's some kind of sus shit. Because that would mean when she's 18, he's fucking still like in his early 30s. Like that's crazy.
I guess at least she was 18, I guess.
Mm-hmm. At least she was. That's so bad.
He's like a sugar daddy without any money.
Yeah, just with a whole bunch of debt.
Yeah.
Hey, after they get rid of Jabba, technically he has no debt. And then he gets
rich. He ain't got money either, though.
Well, he gets rich off of his commission. He becomes a fucking general. And he's married to a fucking princess.
Yeah, well, canon, then he fucks off and gets sad and lives on a fucking space junker.
And gets more debt.
That's such a great way to put it. Then he fucks off and gets sad.
I mean, in the sequel, he got more debt, so.
Oh, that's true. I always forget, like, I don't know, I'm with Red on this one. Like, the true Star Wars is always going to be Legends to me. This is just, like, this is just Star Wars fodder that Disney is releasing. The true Star Wars timeline is the Legends timeline.
You know the only thing I care about from Legends, and it's the Mandalorians, obviously.
And yet you know nothing about the Old Republic Mandalorians.
I know some about them. I played the first KOTOR. I've read the synopsis of all the...
Clearly, you don't know what Candorous Ordo went through and why he's my favorite Mandalorian of all time.
As a matter of fact, I do know what Candorous Ordo went through.
Because I sat there and told you.
You didn't sit there and told me. I went and read it.
No, I sat there in your fucking backyard and told you why. I told you about his wife and everything and the conquest with Revan. I sat there and I told you the entire story of Candorous Ordo and why I love him.
Also read it.
Okay, but I told you first.
Maybe I just let you talk.
Man, you're full of shit.
I mean, that's like what most of this podcast is, just letting Nicatus talk.
Hey, to be fair, this whole podcast was my idea, all right?
We weren't even the original cast.
You guys aren't even the second cast.
Can't believe you didn't come to me.
This show has gone through some growing pangs, I will say. I still can't get over the fact that I spent 8 months interviewing people from fucking Reddit to be on this podcast with me and forgot about Hunter's entire existence.
That's crazy.
Hey, to be fair, I asked Andrew if he knew anyone who might want to be on the Star Wars podcast, and he only vaguely mentioned you and then never again, one time.
Now you're going to blame Andrew for your failings?
I will blame anyone but myself for my own failings. You expect me to sit here and suffer for the consequences of my own actions? Surely not.
I definitely do, because I made you make that apology video.
Oh, where's your apology video, by the way, buddy?
I apologize already.
I told you it didn't count if you did it in the episode, so I'm gonna need that apology video ASAP first.
I didn't count that. See, the thing with your apology video is you said, if I am wrong, I will make an apology video. I never agreed to do that.
Man, that's bullshit. You and Exotic are always figuring out a way to fucking get out of this shit.
I think you just dig yourself deeper holes every time you talk.
Look, because I have to double down, and when that doesn't work, I have to triple down, okay? There's never any up for me. It's always down.
All right, so we got more questions. Are we going into...
Well, let's go ahead into bonus segment. So, Exotic, you're up, buddy.
I don't have one currently. I'm still thinking. Actually, I think I do have one.
All right, buddy. The floor is yours. The ball's in your court. The balls are also in your mouth.
Give me a second there, bud. You wish.
Well, I said the balls, not my balls. My balls are on your back, like the fucking Quarrens in the 2D Micro series.
All right. Hey, and welcome to another... Ooh, fuck. Hold up. I have to get my thought all generated real quick. All right, and welcome to another week of Would You Rather. Yes.
No.
Fuck you.
Okay.
This week, I guess I will start out because I do have one that's pretty interesting. And it's going to be, would you rather be the apprentice of Qui-Gon Jinn or the apprentice of Master Yoda?
Qui-Gon or Yoda?
Doesn't that put you in the same line, though, because it's Yoda, Dooku, Qui-Gon?
Yeah, but they both have their different ways of teaching their...
That's true.
Honestly, I would take Yoda. If I'm learning something and somebody's teaching me, I need like a regimented, like hard ass kind of teacher. And I feel like Yoda's like that. I mean, look at Windu, look at Dooku. They're all very prim and proper. I feel like they got the ass beat by Yoda when he was teaching them. And I need that if I'm learning. Qui-Gon be like, hey, yo, what if you just use the Force right? And then I'll be like, yeah, man, maybe you should teach me. And he'd be like, no, you just got to feel it.
Wait.
I couldn't do that.
Sure. No. Windu was trained under Trasa. Yoda is the one who, like, when Mace was a learner, but, like, he was actually Padawan to Trasa.
Yeah, but, like, Windu sucks off Yoda all the time, right? Like...
Well, I mean, if you're someone's right hand at number two, you would, right?
Look, all I'm saying is, I feel like Yoda would be better at teacher for me, personally.
Okay, that's fair. I'm picking Qui-Gon. I want space hippie all the way. I know that, like, in between training sessions, he was smoking that good Dagobi and Kush. And I want Master Qui-Gon Kush. That OG Kush. I'm definitely taking Qui-Gon. Hands down. Reason
is because you want to do drugs.
That's not the only... Well, that's a big reason. I'll say that. But again, like, I'm assuming I know what I know about both of them. And I'm still taking Qui-Gon because of that whole, like, connection to the living force. Like, I definitely appreciate the people who live in the moment as opposed to the people who are overthinking the future. And Yoda is definitely someone who overthinks the future, in my opinion. Especially becoming clouded with, like... Palpatine's rise to power and him being so close to the vicinity of the Jedi on Coruscant, I feel like Qui-Gon's... Because Qui-Gon definitely had, and I mentioned this like in one of the other episodes, is like he's definitely like the more liberal of the Jedi Masters. He's not as conservative as like most of the council is. And I feel like that aligns more with like how I act. Like the same way when she said like he's talking about who would teach him best, I feel like I'm going to learn more from the hippie guy as opposed to the straight-laced 800-year-old Green Goblin. So I'm taking Qui-Gon.
Yeah, probably have to agree with you on Qui-Gon, just because like he's more of like a free thinker, so he's not really like a straight arrow like Yoda was, pretty much following everything by what the Jedi did. He questioned a lot of things that the Jedi did, and I feel like that would help pretty much teach you in the long run to question what you're doing instead of just blindly following what someone else says.
And you never said anything about me having to stay on the light side, all right?
What does that have to do with anything?
No, it's just, I mean, being a Padawan.
Let Yoda teach me, and then let me figure out that Yoda's full of shit, and then go do my own thing. That's totally in my MO. I'd learn, I'd be good at the shit that Yoda was teaching me, and then I'd be like, fuck you, Yoda, you lied to my ass, look at all this other crap, I'm out of here.
I feel like once you naturally come to that conclusion as a student of Qui-Gon, because I mean even Obi-Wan kind of comes to that realization in the Dune Sea after Order 66.
It took Obi-Wan till he was almost dead to figure that out.
Okay, and Qui-Gon was trying to tell him,
look, I want to be in black leather with a red lightsaber when I'm a young strapping individual.
Why can't you be an old strapping individual?
I don't think I'm gonna age well.
It's the milk genes. Hey, you might age well inside of the Mandalorian armor. You don't have to be exposed to sunlight all the time. Your skin's probably going to still be perky.
And look at Bo-Katan. She's like 50.
I keep telling you guys, like, people in the Star Wars universe average live to, like, you know, in their upper, well, not their upper hundreds, but like 110, 120 is like the average lifespan. So she definitely doesn't look middle-aged, but yeah, she does age pretty well.
You know who didn't age well? Obi-Wan.
Because he lived in the fucking desert.
Yeah. Who sons? That'll do something to you.
I must stay in my environmentally controlled Mandalorian armor. Thank you very much. Nice and cool. Recycle my piss. Forget all that shit. All
right, it's time for your would you rather.
My would you rather. All right.
Mine is disgusting as always, so I want to finish it.
Surprise, surprise.
All right, would you rather be in Chimera's position, walking naked ass into the water with little Plagueis sitting in a cave with his creepy little hands watching you get naked in the water, or be one of the Jedi that had to fight Chimera?
One of the Jedi that had to fight Chimera.
Okay, so you dead.
Yeah, gladly.
Nah, there's something about voyeurism that's just kind of hot, so I'll be Chimera. I'll fucking walk in with my dick out in the water and have a fucking Munilist watch me from afar in the shadows. It's kind of hot. I might even jack off a little bit, touch myself.
I don't want them slimy ass, long ass fingers anywhere.
You know what? If you're picking the Jedi route on this one, you're definitely one of the Jedi that gets skewered. You get kebabbed. Kebabbed and then decapitated.
Yeah, I'm also picking voyeurism. I ain't finna get kebabbed. Not in this Beskar, baby.
Except for, what was her name? Jackie. Except for Jackie, like, they all went out like bitches. I'm not gonna lie. Like, even Yor went out like, she got his shit snapped.
Yeah, Yor kind of just died instantly. It's like, he had the heart there. Nothing else.
And even Jackie went out kind of rough. She got fucking stabbed 3 times in the chest. It reminded me of the fucking punch. What's that? Llamas with hats. He's like, Carl, why is there a dead human? He's like, well, I walked up to him, and I stabbed him 37 times in the chest. Carl. Jackie got stabbed in the chest.
What's your would you rather, you disgusting ass?
Okay, would you rather finger Jabba the Hutt or get Tom?
Why is it always Jabba the Hutt?
Something to do with the Hutt.
Because they're slimy, okay? Listen. Would you rather finger Jabba the Hutt or get Sloppy Toppy from Maximilian Rebo?
We already know what I'm answering to this.
Yeah. I'm not going anywhere near a fucking Hutt. Like, no matter,
I'll get the Sloppy Toppy. You see how many fucking little hole things he's got? One of them, he could give me Sloppy
but
Toppy with all of them.
They're leaking.
That's sloppy, ain't it?
Dude,
he can give me that hot tour. All right.
Not the Hawk tour.
How many times you bring up a hut? I don't think any of us are ever going to go with that side.
Look, you don't know what that liquid from his orifices is going to do to your pee-pee. What if you get like a fucking yeast infection
and then that's you got to cut off your better than fucking fingering Jabba the Hutt. Yeah. Let me tell you.
I'll finger Jabba the Hutt.
I'd rather physical trauma than mental trauma.
No, I'll finger Jabba the Hutt because I know his slime is not going to fuck up my fingers. Listen, if you give Jabba the Hutt a fingered orgasm, you getting a reward. That's all I'm saying. He got money. Maximilian Rebo is a broke bitch who ends up stuck on fucking Tatooine, giving his musical services for just food for the rest of his life. Like, all he wants is fucking food. And Jabba got money. I'ma finger the Hutt. I want the bag. Like, I am I got money on my mind at all times. I'm finna give this Hutt a finger blasting orgasm and I'm finna get that check.
There's no even guarantee that he's gonna pay you. He has plenty of fucking Twi'lek fucking slaves. What if he's just like, oh yeah, you're a slave now. Like, what are you going to do?
I'm taken care of. I'll take the slavery.
What do you mean taken care of? He's thrown so many to fucking get killed by a Rancor.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to finger blast the Hutt so good, he ain't even going to be able to slither nowhere, even if he uses a hover sled. He going to be fucking shaking from his, I don't know, his stomach pouch down, and he going to love me. That bitch is going to love me. Oh, you know what? I'm down to do this too. Hey, so we actually have another Would You Rather from one of our viewers, Red. He says, would you rather have a Mistress Ahsoka or Mistress Bastila from KOTOR?
Bastila. No contest. It's Bastila.
Bastila. Easy.
I'm going for Ahsoka because I want to pull on them fucking, them Leku. Hit it from the back, pull it forward.
I mean, nah, man. It's Bastila.
I'm taking Ahsoka. I want something to pull.
I want something that's human.
Facts.
Nah, bro. Cause like, I don't know. You know what a human pussy feel like. You don't know what a fucking Togruden pussy feel like. What if it's better? What if it's hotter?
What if it got
teeth?
Take a vagina with teeth. Fuck it. I'm taking Ahsoka. Ahsoka, hands down. Y'all are just scared. Just say you're scared. I don't know if I want Jabba the Hutt's booty hole. I'm not gonna lie.
He does. Don't let him lie to you. Lied.
Question. Okay, because I love going down on anything. But like, if I've been so upfront about how sexual I would be with Jabba the Hutt, why would I pick this moment to lie?
Because you're scared.
I'm not. I'm the least scared of you bitches. I'm willing to put my dick in a toothy Togruden vagina. Like, are you... You guys are toxic. What are you
doing, dude? Why does it always come out to this?
Because I'm a fucking freak.
Always has to end with a Hutt.
It always has to end with a Hutt. All right. Well, I think that's everything, right?
Yep. Let's go play our questions. Star Wars Hunters. Jesus. Get me out of here.
Jesus can't save you this time.
All right. Thank you guys for being here for our bonus episode. We really appreciate it. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe, hit that bell. Force Unscripted on Twitter, formerly known as X. Website coming eventually, probably soonish sometime. And thank you guys for chilling so much. We will see you guys next time.
May the Force be with you, everyone.
Y'all have a good one.